Our help is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace. By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ. And in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Amen. We join in singing Psalm 91, a favorite of Christians that speaks of the protecting care of the Lord. Lord God, our refuge and fortress. Your faithfulness has protected us through this day. Now send your holy angels to guard us from danger through this night. Give us peaceful rest, free from fear, that we may wake refreshed to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Listen with devout hearts and attentive minds to the reading of the fourth part of the Passion History according to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Here we see Jesus before Pilate, condemned to crucifixion. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man,
for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, Crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, Let his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. So far the reading of the Passion history. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Continue our Lenten worship with hymn number 100. Thank you.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was doing mighty things when he was before Pontius Pilate. Tonight we're going to look at the Savior through the eyes of Pontius Pilate. We're introduced to him with our text from John 19. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free. But the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." Fellow observers of the Passion, throughout this Lenten season, we've been looking at the Lord through the eyes of people who were part of what happened. Pilate is different from all of them. Whether you're talking about people who were bold followers of Jesus or timid followers of Jesus, like Peter and Nicodemus, or you're talking about people who betrayed the Lord or were not faithful to him, Peter and Judas, all of them had a stake in what was happening spiritually. But not Pontius Pilate. He had no stake at all. If you would take any of those people that we just mentioned and put them into our time, they would be strange indeed. People that we would have difficulty relating to in the 21st century in America. But the same thing wouldn't be true of Pontius Pilate. Oh, sure, he's different living in the first century compared to the 21st century. But Pilate was a man of the world. He would have fit in much better in our world than any of the other people, whether they were the high priests or Jesus' disciples. Pilate would have a place in our world. So let's understand Pontius Pilate and then look at Jesus. That finally is the most important thing, that we would look at the Savior and would come to understand him better. That's why we're here tonight. We can deduce a great deal about Pontius Pilate. He had a very good assignment in being the governor of Judea. The people of Israel, the Jews, were difficult to rule over. It was not an easy assignment, but it was one that could get Pontius Pilate well along the way. But it was challenging, and he was an ambitious man, ruling over a very difficult group of people. These people thought that they were the very people of God, not the gods of all the peoples around the world, but the God who created the world. And they did not like being ruled by anyone, and not Rome either. So Pontius Pilate found himself in a very difficult situation. He really didn't want to be there. I don't think Pontius Pilate was worried much about Jesus at all. Everyone was talking about Jesus, but all the discussion was about, Jewish religion and discussions about the Messiah. There was no army gathering to follow Jesus, no threat from him. He spent most of his time up in Galilee. At one point,
Pilate hoped he could get rid of Jesus by sending him to Herod. But Jesus came back. Still, Pilate was convinced that Jesus had done nothing wrong. He knew that the leaders of the people of Israel wanted to be rid of Jesus. They were jealous of him. They didn't like his claim to be the Messiah, and they didn't accept it. But what was that to Pontius Pilate? He could care less about messiahs or anything else. Pontius Pilate was worried about his career. And he was hoping that he would go from here, possibly back to Rome, a nice plum assignment if he did a good job here. And that put him in a pretty difficult position, because the leaders of God's people, chief priests and the teachers of the law, were absolutely determined to get rid of Jesus once and for all. He was a danger. They told themselves he's going to foment a revolution. People will follow him. There will be a bloodbath. It is good, expedient, that one man should die for the people, they said. Little did they know how true that was. More than anything else, Pontius Pilate wished to be rid of Jesus, but to do so in a way that would not cost him, because Jesus was very popular. The chief priests and the teachers of the law had to find someone to betray him at a time when the crowds weren't present, because otherwise there surely would have been a riot if they had tried to arrest him. So Pontius Pilate continued to hope that he could handle the situation, that he could deal with it with the skill of a good Roman governor. So first he clashed with the leaders. He just told them, you know, I find no fault in this man. If you want him killed, you take him and kill him, knowing that they couldn't do that. Pontius Pilate tried everything that he could think of. His wife told him, don't have anything to do with this man. I had a bad dream this day. Tradition says that she later became a Christian. No real idea whether that's true. Pontius Pilate had him flogged. He offered someone else in exchange, someone who would foment revolution, who the chief priests and teachers of the law were happy to be rid of in Pilate's prison, thinking, well, they'll pick him. They'll pick Jesus over Barabbas. But of course, they were two steps ahead of Pontius Pilate. Nothing worked. And so finally, he washed his hands in front of everyone, and he said, I'm going to give you what you want, but I'm not responsible for this. Pilate was in a bad position, because the chief priests and the teachers of the law, the leaders of God's people, were telling him, this man says he's a king, and if this goes back to Rome, you know what we're going to say. He didn't take care of this king, and then everything blew up in his face. It was only a few years before that there was an appeal of one of Pilate's actions, and Pilate lost. Rome reversed what he had done. So he had to worry. So here then is Pontius Pilate viewing Jesus in a unique way, as someone who has no real stake in him, who only wants to be rid of him. What can we learn? What can we learn from Pilate's point of view about our dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and about ourselves as well? Well, I think the fact that Pilate would so well fit into our time, remember his question when Jesus says, I came to tell the truth. And Pilate says, what is truth? What is that's meaningless? He'd fit right in today.
He just didn't care about Jesus. He didn't care what he stood for. He didn't think that he really mattered. After all, he was just a part of this strange religion of Judaism and their ideas about the Messiah and so forth. It just didn't make any difference to him. We meet people like that all the time. We're dealing with people in the world for whom Jesus simply doesn't matter at all. They might be occasionally amazed at him, like Pontius Pilate. When men came before Pilate to be judged and their life was hanging in the balance, Pilate expected to hear an impassioned appeal. Jesus said nothing at all. He was amazed by that. Had a little conversation with him, but that's all. That's the attitude that we see in the world around us. People simply don't believe that Jesus matters. They don't know much about him. The lack of knowledge of the Christian faith is astounding and probably would surprise you if you saw tests that are given to people. They don't know Jesus, and they really don't care. And the danger for us is that we get influenced by that. We get intimidated by it as if our faith were some kind of weird little thing that's among the group of people that are Christians but doesn't really matter in the world. The world goes about ignoring things. Watch out. We're way too influenced by the world. Every one of us knows that. The world is subtle and very strong and powerful at the same time. It doesn't really care about Jesus Christ, and the effect on us can be very bad. Young people are trying to make their way in the world, discover, you know what? Most of these people that I meet, they don't care about Jesus at all. And it's only within the little confines of our world that we see things that really matter. Watch out. Pilate didn't. We don't know too much about Pilate. His name does get mentioned elsewhere, but not very much. I suppose that he had his career, didn't he? Little did he know that he actually became one of maybe top 10 people in the world whose name is recognized. He didn't know that. And it happened to him only because he had something to do with Jesus. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Millions and millions of people know his name, know who he was. But it didn't make any difference to Pontius Pilate. Why? Because he ignored Jesus. A thief, actually probably better translated a rebel, was crucified with Jesus. And he recognized who Jesus was. I suppose desperation helped, but it doesn't make any difference. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was God come down to the earth. He tells his other partner, or whatever he was to him, why are you criticizing Jesus? Don't you know that he is God under the same sentence that we are? He saw it. Pilate, with all of his sophistication and education, didn't see it and missed the whole purpose of his life. Because on that hill, Golgotha, in Jerusalem,
The whole history of the world was turning. What had gone so horribly bad in the Garden of Eden was being turned around. And it wasn't Adam and Eve or any of their descendants who were doing it. It was the Lord who was doing it. Jesus was the King of eternity. Pilate missed it. The world misses it. And the sad thing is that we might miss it too, because how influential are the people in the church? Who really cares what the church does? You're watching in vain in the next few days to hear anything about the church unless something extraordinary happens. The real place where the action is in the field of government. What are we going to do about the budget impasse, or in the fields of entertainment? And we get sucked into this and are in danger of losing our way, of being separated from the one person who can take us to eternity. It certainly isn't Pontius Pilate, and it isn't all the brothers and sisters of Pontius Pilate who are living today. They're all going to die and be gone. And unlike Pontius Pilate, their names won't even be remembered, because they didn't have anything to do with Jesus, good or bad. But out of all those people out there, God chose you to be his own from before the foundation of the world, and control the history of the world so that you would be called by the gospel, become one of his, be declared not guilty as a child of God, and glorified in eternity. Why would I be one of those? Why would you be one of those people when a big muckety-muck like Pontius Pilate didn't make the grade? I have absolutely no idea. But God was doing in Christ the one thing that mattered. And that's what Lent is about. That we would see, as we've done throughout these weeks now, see the Lord Jesus Christ through the eyes of the people who were there for the passion and suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Pilate is a reminder to us that all that emptiness that's in the world around us is exactly that. It doesn't matter. It is destroyed by the grave. But in a few short days, we'll be celebrating a victory over the grave. Jesus' victory over the grave. Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus, whose resurrection makes it possible for us to live eternally with the Lord. So Pontius Pilate isn't much of an example, but he is a wonderful warning. And he points us to the Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. With joy, we bring our offerings to the Lord, believing that he will make a difference with them.
We join in prayer on page 7 of your service folder.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. In righteousness I shall see you when I present, O merciful God, and protect us through the silent hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may rest in your eternal changelessness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Teach us the patience and perseverance of the cross, so that our Savior's victory over sin, death, and Satan may give us strength to overcome. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look down, O Lord, from your heavenly throne, and illuminate this night with your celestial brightness, that by night as by day your people may glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father.
Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
To be able to share the Lenten worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. We have one more midweek Lenten service ahead of us, and we have wonderful things that lie ahead. To see the Savior walk the way of the cross during Holy Week, and then to celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday is just ahead of us. Remember, holy means set apart, so set apart that special week for all the worship services that are there. Before that, we have some activities that are important. We're inviting the community this Saturday, so if you can come, enjoy what's happening, or help out, that's a good thing, Saturday from 1 until 4. This Sunday, we have something special planned, a seminar on estate planning, Christian estate planning. We hope that you will plan to take that in. If you are and you'd like to enjoy the meal together after the late service, be sure and sign up on the tilted shelf in the church lobby. Lord be with all of you as Lent continues. Amen.